Normally, I have a formula for doing Bible studies and preparing addresses, which goes something like this. What must the truth have been and be if people who thought and spoke like they did wrote about it and spoke about it like that? Now, that normally means that I have to sort of go into my books and try to understand the people of the time and the things that they thought and the things that they were experiencing, so that when they had the experiences and when people wrote about it, I would understand how they received it, and then I could then look at it and see how I receive it. There are other ways of doing Bible study. I know a monk, for example, at Worth, who likes to have a much more personal relationship with the scriptures. He likes to read them and let them do things to him in his feelings and his heart and his mind and his understanding. And that's very effective. He's obviously a much holier man than I am. And yet, on this particular occasion, when I was looking at this particular reading, suddenly I felt it. Right at the beginning, before I even got to my books, I felt it. I could imagine what it was like for those disciples locked away in that room for fear of the Jews. And then suddenly there is Jesus in the room with them. Now, just imagine if suddenly there appeared in this row here someone we knew to have died. I wonder what would happen in each and every one of our minds. The first thing, because we're in the middle of a sermon, is you think to yourself, oh my goodness, I've dropped off. I'm dreaming. But then you convince yourself that actually you weren't dreaming, you might think to yourself, well, I'm hallucinating. I shouldn't have had that extra drink last night. Or when you realise that everybody else was seeing the same person here, you might think to yourself, we're all hallucinating. Or you might have to review all of your ideas about ghosts. And you might find it quite a confusing sort of experience. And then the other thing is, you might not completely recognise that it was that person. You know what it's like when somebody wears glasses and you meet them without their glasses? Or if you've got somebody who is wearing different clothes to the way that they normally wear clothes, you know, a different outfit. I had a priest friend once who was taking communion out to people. So he was all dressed in his ecclesiastical robes. And he was going through a council estate, and a lady leant out of the bedroom window and she shouted out, "Gosh, I didn't recognise you with your clothes on." I think it must have been like that for the disciples. There they were, and this was Jesus, but was it? They didn't quite know. Now, I don't know what it's like when somebody comes back from the dead, but I imagine they might just look a little bit different. You know, the bruises and the scratches that they had when you last saw them, especially Jesus on the cross, they might not be there. So this person might look much sort of healthier and purer than they were before. And they might sound different. I don't know, but they might. And certainly act different. I mean, Jesus acted different. Up until then, he'd always used the door to get into the room. And suddenly he appears in the middle of the room. And the disciples weren't sure. So Jesus reassures them by showing them the evidence of his sufferings. He shows them in the story today the evidence of his hands where the nails went through, and his feet where the nails went through, and in John's Gospel, his side where the spear went in. He shows them the signs of his suffering. And then they say, yes, this is Jesus. And then he can open up the scriptures to them. And then he can tell them what their responsibility is from now on. Now, for all of us, we have a similar sort of experience. Every single one of us has locked areas of our lives, things where we've pushed things out of public view. Even sometimes if we try hard enough, out of our own view. Things that have hurt us. Things that have troubled us. Little insecurities. Things we might have done or might have said. Has anybody here not said something and immediately you've said it, thought to yourself, gosh, I wish I hadn't said that? Or have you ever been to a party and in the morning thought, oh God, did I really? You hide it all away, you lock it all away, you build a shell around yourself so that the people who you meet react to the person you want them to see. And then when you say your prayers, it's in those very areas that you begin to feel as though Jesus is present. But is it Jesus? Is this Jesus, or is this wishful thinking? Is this resolving those areas of our sensitivities and anxieties, Jesus, or is it wishful thinking? But in this case, we can't see the hands. We can't see the feet. We can't see the side. But those were the signs of his suffering. And there, I think, we can. There, we can recognize Jesus in the suffering that we experience in his name. Let me explain that a little bit. When I was in London, I used to go down the embankment, because I was at King's London, and going down the embankment, there'd be lots of people who were homeless. Lots of people who were, in those days, more likely to be on meths than on drugs. And they were all begging and hoping that you'd be able to help them, far more than I could do, and especially because I didn't have any money because I was a student. And I would be going down the embankment, and I'd be feeling sorry for them, but not able to do anything. And I would go to St. Martin's in the Fields. What a wonderful place. The liturgy is out of this world. The music is out of this world. But the thing that impressed me then and stays with me as a vivid recollection is that very often on the pew beside me would be one of those homeless people fast asleep. But not the same as the people I met on the benches on the embankment. The people on the embankment were always hyper-vigilant because somebody might abuse them, kick them or abuse them in some other way. Not here. Not in church. Here, you could see the peaceful body language of a person who felt safe. Just like when they were a child and mum or dad has read them a story and tucked them up in bed and they can fall asleep in total security because there is a parent watching over them. And here they are in this sacred space and it's just as if a parent is watching over them. The peace, the relaxation. Beautiful. But at the same time, it hurts. It hurts just as much as if I've looked at Jesus' hands or put my fingers like Thomas did into those marks. It hurts that somebody should have this experience in their life. But I am so deeply, deeply grateful that Christ breaks in to the hardness and harshness of this world. And that someone who has fallen off the edge of society can sleep like a baby. Or what's it like if somebody comes into one of our churches, here, in this church, If somebody comes through that door right now with special educational needs or special disabilities, I'm thinking now of someone that came into a church where I was present, and this was a teenage lad with clear special educational needs, rather noisy, came with his father, and I watched them come in at the back of the church with father being embarrassed because of his teenage son not behaving in the way that we're expected to behave in church. But I knew that the people in that church would not see that aspect of that child, but they would see deeper inside into the person that God created. They would look round and they would smile. They would smile in that special way that you give to someone that you love. And I knew I could say publicly, out loud, in the middle of the service, "Don't worry, come and join us. Relax, because everyone here will actually welcome you, love you, support you." And the lad went up to the high altar and knelt and looked at the stained glass window. And I knew in that church that he brought love into this place. And it hurt. But it was like looking at the side or the feet of Christ. It was Christ transforming that situation. And he does in all our lives, in the locked places of our lives. In John's Gospel, it goes even further. Because in John's Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, not only this is what I need you to know, this is what I need you to do, but here, let me breathe on you. Let me give you my grace. So that it is you that goes into those situations. It's you with your my grace inside you that touches the suffering of this world and brings healing. And I think that that is beautiful. And that is the gospel. And may Christ break into all of our lives, here, now, today, and wherever we go from here, in his name.